Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're going to rock down to Electric Avenue and then we'll take it higher, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
All right.
And Petey Donaldson's here.
Rizzle kicks.
Damn right, mate.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Still find them.
Okay. still around.
I'm glad someone said it. Now then, thousands upon thousands of fans boycotted the Rome Derby on the weekend as supporters of both teams continued their protest against a decision to put up plexiglass barriers in the stadium for extra security.
Plexiglass.
Yeah.
I bet that's a brand name. I bet you can't even say that. Mm. But you're not allowed.
Well, I have. Yeah. And I've no idea if others are available.
if you are in the marketing department of plexiglass,
yeah,
get in touch. And then we will, for the right amount of money, completely cocoon ourselves independently in plexiglass.
Yeah. Right. Just like, in our lives.
Yeah. Like big plastic condoms of UPVC. Yeah. Clear materials.
Or just make big balls that we can roll around in.
Yeah.
The public will love it.
I've always wanted to desorb.
Mm. Well, if you could come up with a different extra security measure rather than said barriers, what would you go for, Jim? How would you keep the crowd safe and apart and stop fighting? And
This is Rome, isn't it?
And, well, it doesn't have to be, but it can.
Yeah, but in this particular example, they're obviously in need of it. And one thing that the Romans used to be particularly good at was lions. Just sort of using lions for things.
Good at lions. One thing
in particular they used it for a lot. And I think if they were just to have one patrol lion on each stand with like a lion handler, obviously dressed as a centurion, people would know not to mess. Like, because you'd know, like, if you misbehave, they'll chuck a stake at you and just let him go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a deterrent.
Yeah.
Hopefully, none of the lions will have to be deployed. But I think you just behave. That's going to make you behave more than glass.
However fine a product plexiglass may be. How would you combat the ball boy problem?
Is there a ball boy problem?
Well, the ball boys are going to have to go and get the ball, presumably.
But they don't go into the lion cubs.
No, but the plexiglass doesn't get in the way of the ball boys.
You train the lion cubs to return a football.
Okay. Why, I mean, why would you throw a steak on people that they'd probably like to eat anyway?
Again, it's a deterrent.
You're distracting people.
You're distracting
the lions from the people.
Well, absolutely. It's safer, isn't it? But if a lion's coming towards you, you're not going to go, oh, there's a steak next to me. I'll just sit here and assume it'll be fine.
Or three lions in the stand.
Yeah, with known hooligans, they have to have a piece of meat on them. Otherwise, they're stadium banned forever.
Right.
Yeah.
You're allowed to come, but you have to wear the Lady Gaga meat suit.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I like that. Yeah.
Which needs to be introduced in football, as far as I'm concerned.
It's an interesting away kit. Third kit.
The Spanish side, they had the ham.
They did, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. But they've got... didn't they do asparagus the year before?
They might have done.
It wasn't actual ham, though. I don't think.
But I think they should...
Wouldn't put it past them.
No, perverts. Absolutely. Luke, what have you got?
Two words, proximity necklaces.
I'm thinking Running Man, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is it Hunger Games as well?
No.
Battle Royale.
Yeah.
I was racking my brains on the way up, trying to work out what Schwarzenegger field was. I thought it was Running Man, but I wasn't sure.
I think it is.
But what I would do is I'd have them clipped with the proximity nexus around their neck, but having their head blow up seems a bit severe. So what I would do is once they cross the threshold, whichever threshold you wanted to make
when the fans charge at each other.
Their trousers fall down. So they fall over.
That's great.
And it embarrasses them and they also fall over.
Proximity belts then.
Yeah, proximity belts. That would work.
But what would be great though is you know some football fans when they lose rational thought, when they get so angry, fans from in the other sides of the stands, hopefully rational thinking fans would go, he's going to go, the trousers going down there.
And also, the final insult could be that you just get banned from the stadium for indecent exposure.
You get done for all sorts there. Yeah.
You got to wear your undergrundies. You could be like one of those things you get in a car, you know, those fellas where you used to have a bulb that you squeezed and his pants fell down.
Yes.
In the 80s.
Yeah, I vaguely remember
Cheeky Charlie's
that.
Or whatever. Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with
Cheeky Pete's
proximity necklaces, but it could be adapted to be.
Who do you put them on? Known hooligans and the like?
No, every single
Everyone
fan.
Everyone has to wear one as they go in.
Okay.
Well, I've got a better name for it. What? A battle buckle.
A battle buckle.
And if you're going to battle, the buckle doth unhatch.
Unlatch. Your bum.
Would a naughty necklace not suffice?
naughty necklace. That's something different.
It's weirdly kinky.
Stay, boy. Well, not have you talking about naughty necklaces.
Oh, he's still recording.
Yeah, don't reveal your true nature on the podcast.
I shouldn't, should
People
I?
Be shocked.
Leisure suit Larry over there. I'd go for WWE star Seth Rollins.
Just lob him in.
He's currently got a knee injury, so he could swing an aluminium chair still, couldn't he? And just take a couple out.
But he deserves a substitute for him if he's injured.
All right, Henry Rollins.
Yeah, all of them.
All right.
Any
Sonny Rollins,
fine,
jazz guy.
It's okay, so you've got him. So why him specifically?
Because he's injured and he's got now to do. So he's got a...
He's a big boy. You could just tear into them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or silly string.
Because
silly string's tedious, isn't it?
What, so you squirt silly string?
Because people are expecting mace to come out of the bottle. Yeah. And like, if the police squirt silly string, tedium and the raw nature of silly string, everyone would be like...
I'm against silly string.
What about silly mace?
Silly mace.
It's still made of mace, and initially you think, it's just silly string.
Oh, it burns.
Yeah. I'm against silly string for... reasons of chlorofluorocarbons.
Is that the propellant or the string itself?
I think it might be the propellant. They've probably changed the makeup of it now. If they can get it out of Lynx
or Axe internationally.
Despite popular consensus, the ozone layer is indeed growing, so it's worth thinking about.
It's a theory.
You could just position the ozone layer over the stadium and just burn everyone.
They've all got baldy bonces, haven't they, hooligans?
One of the most sinister hooligan scenes of all time was an Italian... I think it was an Italian national game against Serbia. when there was that known hooligan and they put those big nets up, and that big, massive known hooligan, which calm as you like, was just sat on top of the fence just clipping the net.
Oh,
with scissors,
yeah.
Really slow. Do you remember him?
Oh, right, I do,
and
yeah.
Putting out, God.
Terrifying.
The stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, well let me talk about the stuff of dreams then. I would have... So instead of a glass
we're
barrier...
We're moving on to Scotland this quickly.
Wow, they did win again. But instead of having the glass barriers come up, if you think... They're charging. Quick, send the dancers in, and I'd have a line of can-canning dancers to go in between
them. Well,
kick
them in the face.
Yeah, well, kick them in the face. But also, I think that would go one of two ways. If you had really flamboyant, you know, body paint dancers giving it the can-can, people would be quite freaked out and be like, what? And then back off. Or people get involved.
How'd you get them in, though, without everyone noticing?
Oh, what, easy.
Bring out the dancing horses, like Echo and the Bunnymen song.
Yeah. Exactly, all that. Yeah. You know, so can-can is
not a Newcastle, though.
No one's going to punch a can-canner. No,
that's true. That's true.
It would be an awful thing to do.
Yeah, mind you, we did think nobody would punch a horse.
No, happened twice. One of the horses wasn't even real.
Yeah,
just punching the idea of a horse.
Yeah.
I mean, that image.
Punching horses as a concept.
That image, I don't think we'd ever think we'd see. I don't think we ever thought it was the sort of thing you'd see on, like, I don't know, like a prog album cover. Like something, a really weird, obscure thing.
It is, isn't it?
Like punching horses sounds like a band Luke would have a T-shirt of.
Yeah. Wearing it now.
I think Jim's got the points with his lines.
Yeah.
It's a lovely idea.
Well done, Jim.
You know, and strong measures need to be brought
in. We could combine all of them.
I'd say so.
We could have lions with proximity necklaces.
Yeah.
What did you say again? Oh,
WWE.
That wrestler on the back of it.
Yeah.
And when it's all over, can-can.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, can-canning.
Yeah. We've all got the points.
Yeah. Covered in silly string.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the Premier League, Arsenal and Spurs, they got a point each. It was quite nice.
Oh, I forgot we had to talk about this.
Very charitable.
Hey, come on. They were 1-0 down, Jim.
Yeah.
They were 1-0. And in light of...
They was robbed.
I know Manchester City obviously dropped points and Arsenal think, oh, we could have gone top. But actually, if you could spin that on its head, Arsenal are playing their local rivals, who are having a good season.
Yeah,
very hard to beat and played very well on the day. So actually, if you were going to drop a couple of points, you know, Man City have drawn with Aston Villa.
Yeah, well, it's always good to have more points than fewer points. But, you know, It was a positive spin. I'll take your spin, definitely. Okay. Spurs were magnificent, it has to be said. They're just quicker to everything and just so much more committed. They forced Arsenal wide and then Arsenal could do nothing in those wide positions. I was sort of kind of really taken aback by how bad Arsenal were at times, because Spurs are very good at disrupting their rhythm, but when Arsenal did get back in possession, they made so many poor passes. A lot of players were off their game. There was talk that Santi Cazorla was just really dizzy the whole time, which is really strange illness. Maybe he had a weird lasagna.
Well, did they take him off at half-time, didn't they?
Yeah.
Spurs need to take a lot
of credit.
Who didn't kill anyone, which is great. Yeah.
A weird lasagna will do that to you, yeah. Jim.
Mm. Spurs looked really good. I mean, they pressed so hard and worked really, really hard, and I think they need to take a certain amount of credit for making Arsenal look bad.
Oh, they did. They pressed hard against the back of the sink and the sink fell off.
Yeah.
And it smashed everywhere.
Did they throw the kitchen sink after that?
They did smash up the sinks, didn't they? Which, you know, just implies they don't really need any level of hygiene.
I don't know if you saw it, Marcus, but... A load of Spurs fans smashed up a lot of Arsenal fans. Yeah. Sinks around
they
the
just
houses.
Break
what a coordinated attack!
Sink inspector.
And you don't
wash your hands. You can't wash your hands.
Do you remember in Euro 2012 we went to Kiev and I saw a Swedish man taking a sink off the wall and I took a photo of him.
Casually,
he looked really happy with it.
Yeah,
and he had a Swedish flag on his back.
He didn't smash him though. He just moved it away from the wall,
like a proper Viking display of strength.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really
weird.
You wouldn't expect that from a Swedish fan, would you?
No, he was very happy when he did it as well. It's hard to be angry at him, to be honest.
Look at this. But I mean, they're not sinks that the Arsenal fans are going to use.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been hoisted by their own sink.
They've just messed it up for whoever's visiting next.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's very, very true indeed.
But I mean, in retrospect, Arsenal fans, or rather Spurs fans, were very quick to point out that Arsenal did start peeling off the word Tottenham Hotspur from the
They did. No,
White
it was,
Hat
Lane. It was the darest to do,
oh,
really? Wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Okay.
Or come on, you Spurs, or something like that. But you'd be interested to know, though, I wouldn't be at all surprised to find out that taking the sinks off the wall in the stadium's toilets is actually a more severe offence in the eyes of UEFA than racism.
Yeah. So also sounds like the sort
of thing. Fine.
Yeah.
Also sounds like the sort of thing where there's like an ancient law about it.
Yeah.
So you can be drowned.
Yeah, on the third day of the month from 200 paces with a crossbar or something.
Drowned from 200 paces.
Yeah,
with interesting punishment.
Is it true that Spurs fans from now on are going to have to play their games behind toilet doors?
Wow.
Those are sharp pieces of porcelain. They could do some damage. They could snip the top of a net, for example. Mm.
If we can come away from sinks,
if the sinks can come away from the wall,
back to the game. Yeah, which was like a sink coming away from a wall.
It was a great game, actually.
It was, and I think Spurs will be kicking themselves that they didn't take a couple of chances they had. Harry Kane and Christian Eriksen in the second half, in particular, had a couple of shots where you just wonder if part of them is still sort of like sort of.
For sort of
they're
what,
kind of scared of beating Arsenal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Quite often they'll go 1-0 up and they'll waste a big chance they would otherwise take and let us back into the game.
Slightly
they've
giddy,
done it so often.
Slightly giddy they were in that position. Yeah, they sort of thought, hang on, we should be backs to the walls here and actually we could kill the game off.
I did think that, because towards the end, I mean, Giroud had some chances and obviously when it was 1-0, towards the end, Spurs were hanging on a bit and I was thinking, there's no way they should be hanging on in this game.
Well, there was a 10-minute period where Arsenal actually looked really good, which is obviously when we got the goal. And I was thinking during that time, like, I'll be a bit disappointed if we don't actually win this, given how dominant we've been in that like micro part of the game. And credit must go to Wenger as well for how much he had to switch his team around with the players on the bench. Like, you're looking at that bench thinking, how are you getting a goal out of that? Play Kieran Gibbs up front.
Yeah, he's played in midfield a couple of times this season, hasn't he?
Sort of more on the left wing.
Wenger's getting a bit of a stick. I mean, I read in the Evening Standard earlier today that he... one of the correspondents in there is having a pop at Wenger for not strengthening without field players during the summer, and it's like, I've got 10 players out.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
What do you expect? You can only name a certain amount of players in your Premier League squad.
Yeah.
Do you mean, 10 players, you can't legislate for that.
I mean,
there might be another issue at play, which is the way that Arsenal will look after their players. I mean, I don't know enough about that.
Yeah,
but a lot of people have said that. So, but that aside, I mean, you can't blame Wenger for that, for not signing players.
It was funny feeling after the game, looking at both camps, that Spurs seemed very pleased with themselves, as they should have been, because they apply themselves superbly at the game and were unlucky. But I suppose as the game swings, they held on for a point. And it's a point away to a side who have got title ambitions.
Yeah.
And Arsenal, having been one down and been the second best team on the pitch for about 75 minutes, probably slightly relieved they got a point, maybe. So it was quite weird. Both teams seemed relatively not happy, but content with a point.
If you take the emotion out of it, it's not the worst result in the world for either team, is it?
No, I don't think so.
And I think Spurs, I mean, if you look at how they're coming into their own now, Spurs, I mean, Dembele was fantastic.
Yeah.
They've got Dyer and Dele Alli playing great at the base of the midfield with Ryan Mason coming back, so there's competition for places there.
Yeah.
If they could sign in January, and it's easier said than done, but if they could sign in January an experienced forward as like a bit of a backup for Harry Kane in case anything happens to him, and maybe a midfield player just for a bit more backup, they could be a real good shape. They're only four points off the top, and the momentum is amazing. And the great thing about them is they just look
they're
like
five
such,
points off the top.
Five points off the top, sorry. They look like a really hungry, they're obviously a young team, and they work so hard.
Yeah.
And the momentum is with them at the moment, for sure.
Yeah.
And Pochettino seems to be the type of manager that players like playing for and want to play for. Mm. There was an article in The Independent by Miguel Delaney, and he was talking about Pochettino doing a lot of good work for English football. A number of players that have played under Pochettino have gone on to make their England debuts. And you see, as you mentioned, Luke, Dyer and Dele Alli there, and Ryan Mason, who has been there.
He's had an injury, hasn't he, recently?
Yeah, but I mean, Mason's been there a little while and so on. But what Pochettino's doing with that side is there's great cohesion there. I mean, Dyer's a centre-back. You know, obviously he learned a lot of his trade at Sporting in Portugal, but now he's brought him into that midfield. They're so hard to beat.
You've also got a factor in that you can tell, one of the other ways you can tell that Pochettino's doing a good job and it's a United squad is look at that Andros Townsend thing.
Mm.
He acted up. It was dealt with. There was no soap opera.
Yep.
He wasn't in the squad at the weekend. They brought another young player to sit on the bench instead, I think. And then nothing's really been said. I mean, if that was handled badly, you know what the press is like. I mean, it could have gone, it could have run and run and run. And
I think
it's just not happened.
There's been bigger stories this week, though, I think.
Bigger than Spurs? Shut up.
But I was talking up Spurs on the preview show saying that they could win that game. Oh, and I was nearly right.
Which is wrong.
You said they could finish top two, I seem to recall.
Well, and do you know what?
I was in boots.
Well,
I nearly dropped my items.
They still can.
But I think, in theory, they can. If he can get them like this, that resilience, and that can stay. So even if one player drops out and he gets a couple of injuries, you've still got that ethic in the side. Very hard to beat, so on and so forth. Maybe add one or two in January. With Chelsea, you know, in a relegation battle, lol, and Manchester United a little bit out of sorts. Yeah, okay, they're ahead. You would imagine, hopefully not, but you would imagine West Ham and Leicester, will they still be up there? You would expect a little bit of a drop-off. As I say, hopefully not. But Spurs, you know, Arsenal, they often have a collapse or two.
The reason they can finish top two is because look at the other teams around them up at the top and not one of them have got problems.
Top two is a huge shout. But top four, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, they would look at that as there for the taking.
Yes.
And they've as good a chance as they've ever had. You know, they've done it before. One time they weren't allowed in Europe because of Chelsea. Yeah. But, they, you know, they've done it. And I think this squad is as good as the squads that qualified for Europe before. I think worth pointing out, Mesut Ozil set a record as well, didn't he? It's his sixth game in a row with an assist, 10th of the season now.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I mean, that he was joint with a lot of other players on 5, wasn't he? He needed one more to go on his own, and he did that. Mm. He's having a fantastic season. He really is.
We're going to talk about Pards' Palace after this.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
Oh, Alan Pardew. He's like that Jurgen Klopp, but a bit better. Yeah.
Talk to the hand, Jurgen. Yeah.
See a lot of me in him.
I'll tell you what, Palace needed a bit of a result. They'd been on the end of a couple of bad ones, and people were maybe thinking, oh, he's part. Well,
But their recent record against Liverpool's good.
It is good, that, thanks to the big man.
Yeah. I dug out a little stat. I'm pretty sure none of Crystal Palace's strikers have scored a single Premier League goal this season.
You might be right there.
So Gale, Bamford, Wickham, Campbell, and Shamak. None of them have scored in the Premier League.
Wickham and Shamak have been injured, haven't they?
Gale hasn't scored in the Premier League this season.
Not?
No, he scored in the League Cup. I think he got a hat-trick in the League Cup.
Wickham started against Chelsea, I think, at Stamford Bridge. He has played.
No, he hasn't scored.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying he may well have been injured, but I think he's played a few games. Mm. It's strange, isn't it, because they're doing really well. But if they can get that position sorted, because they've got some, isn't
it? Don't need them. Yeah. Don't even need strikers.
You wait and see how good we are when I decide to roll out the strikers.
Yeah, that's
to be fair, that's kind of how he played at Newcastle. I mean,
through necessity, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But they do have so many good attacking midfielders, Palace, don't they?
And Kabay's weighing in with a few goals. They've had a few penalties and stuff like that as well.
Scott Dan.
Yeah.
You know.
Dan.
Yeah, and so on. But yeah, brilliant result. Klopp was a little bit downbeat after the game. He felt a bit lonely, he said.
Yeah, because people left.
You need to get your first defeat out of the way, don't you? You've got this on this amongst your back otherwise.
To be honest, like watching him do his nonsense on the touchline, that the way he kicked the ball away and stuff, if it was just this season and if I had no personal history with him, I could almost see myself possibly in the future regarding that man as less than an idiot.
I think he's the foundation for a backtrack.
A notable thawing in relations.
But then I remember that he is clearly once considered a nipple piercing. So
has he really?
He's the sort of man who would.
Was it the 90s? If it was the 90s, that's okay.
He's got a camera roll full of willy shots. We all know this.
He's the most passive aggressive manager in the Premier League. Amount of times he does the
Pulis
angry, sorry thing is unbelievable.
Pulis is quite, he's just aggressive, isn't he?
That's Pulis. A sort of general stern kind of just head. Yeah, isn't it? He can't not look angry. He doesn't have a choice.
Hey, but Pardew though, 3 points at Anfield, lovely old job.
Yeah, I mean, he promised them an extra day off, didn't he? If they won, and apparently he said they made a conscious decision to take the game to Liverpool. So that's, you've got to put that down as good man management. He's seen what his squad like, which is doing nothing. Apparently,
give him every day off. Give him every day off,
and it's worked.
Yeah, but Pardew with the man management, it is a funny one because he loves his first 11. And the first 11 love him because he always sticks with them. And some of those young players at Palace, an agent was telling me not that long ago, that they're absolutely buzzing off him. Mm. And I don't know. Is it one of those things where
they're not grown up enough to realise his limitations?
Pretty much where I was going. But they're not grown up to realise that the arrogance and the banter and all that kind of stuff actually is
masking things.
Yeah, he enjoys a Giacomo advert.
Is it like a substitute teacher comes in as a bit of a laugh? You think, oh, this guy's great, and then you realise, no, he's...
But we talked a bit about
There's a reason why he's a substitute teacher.
We've talked a bit about this in the past in a slightly different way with Brendan Rodgers, where you don't want a manager to be ridiculously clever, ridiculously intelligent. They've got to be on a level. You know, they want to alienate themselves from the general population of players in the squad because they're not going to respond to that. So they've almost got to be pseudo-intellectual to be successful.
Yeah.
And you can imagine them getting behind part you in that way because he's fairly sort of authoritative in a sort of everyman. I remember you. I can imagine him doing a lot of the old when I was your age I was doing all this as well and them sort of relating to that with Brendan Rodgers. It was very pseudo-intellectual thing where he would pretend to be intelligent and then they would love it, do you know what I mean, because they think he was but he actually wasn't. So it's a similar, I think there's a similar thread there.
I think you're absolutely right, but look, all joking aside, Pardew's doing very well, and as we know, he's a wonderful Premier League League manager. but that's a great result. No two ways about
it.
Can
Newcastle see where he is from where they are at the moment?
No, that's disappointing. They'll get theirs. They will get theirs.
Yeah,
he'll do
points.
Something terrible.
There's only 6 points.
Fingers crossed it'll be after this show's finished.
Pete, would you take Newcastle surviving but finishing way, way, way lower than Palace, kind of like what they did last season, and Palace maybe get into Europe, dare I say, or would you take Newcastle finishing 18th and Palace finishing 19th?
Marcus, it's literally the best I hope for the former. So, 18th is stretching it even now, Marcus.
He'd bite your whole body off for 18th right now.
Well, they're 17th right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we will come on.
That was a smashing... Oh, my God, that was one of
you. Go on, so wonderful win for Palace. Wonderful win for Stoke as well. They needed 3 points, and as we sort of hinted at in the preview show, that Chelsea coming to town was the perfect tonic for them, really, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean,
or was it? They played well, Chelsea, didn't they?
The thing
another
is, though,
day they would have had a point or two.
They,
or three.
They did sort of play well in a way, but again, and I haven't seen many other people pick up on this. We talked about when they played against Liverpool, and the moment they went 2-1 behind, they were just in disarray.
Mm. Yeah,
okay. When they went behind against Stoke, they didn't go into disarray straight away. But they really flapped. And then at one point, now I don't know who was making the decisions because I don't know the terms of Mourinho's stadium ban, whether he was able to sort of phone instructions through.
He was, yeah.
He could
communicate by phone.
So if it was coming from Mourinho, that's even more worrying because at one point they had, I don't know what formation they were playing. They had four number 10s on the pitch and no one really looked like they knew what they were doing. They moved to three at the back, but I couldn't work out how many midfielders they were playing. They had Remy and Costa still on and it looked like they were all over the place. And I'll tell you who I felt sorry for, Baba Rakhman, who had possibly the worst day at the office this season.
Worst first day at the office.
Was it his first game?
I think so. Maybe wrong.
He did not know what to do.
Yeah, but I mean, some of Chelsea played well. I think that's the way to put it. There were still too many players just missing there. Diego Costa, again, like a lot of people have said this, but he seems to focus more on the personal battle he was having with Ryan Shawcross than actually getting anything out of the game. At one point, you could see it was on the cameras, he told Shawcross that he smelled.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Shawcross just laughed at him. Now, when Suarez did that sort of thing, when Ronaldo did that sort of thing, it would wind the players up and it would, you know, wind opposition fans up and stuff like that, but there would be an end product from it. They would feed off the negative energy they created from that. Costa doesn't do that.
Yeah. It's like he's missing that bit out.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just
becomes a lumbering oaf. He's more concerned with this battle that he's got going on. And there was a point towards the end of the game where Eden Hazard was on the edge of the box and he was retaining the ball really, really well. He had to do absolutely everything on his own, which he understandably failed to do, because Costa was just giving him nothing. He was making no run. He was just giving him no option.
I personally don't think he should be anywhere near the team. And also, to follow up on that four number 10s thing, I mean, towards the end of the game, when you've already got that many creative attacking midfield players on the pitch, the last thing you want is your striker dropping short over and over again. And the reason I play Remy is because at least Remy runs in behind. You know what I mean? At least he shows a bit of positivity. And fine, he might smash three or four shots high, wide and handsome, but he'll have a go.
But Remy's record when he's had game time has been pretty good. So give him a run in the team and, you know, more of those shots might go in.
It must be the politics thing again with Chelsea. There's no reason he shouldn't be playing.
It's like you said in the previous show, he's not picking them best on form or performance.
I can't see him doing that.
You can see why Mark Hughes was more than happy to take £8 million off Chelsea for Begovic, because like Butland again was just magnificent.
Fantastic. Oh my goodness, yeah.
I think he's probably the best keeper, best English keeper, on form at the moment.
That's good for England too, because someone putting pressure on Joe Hart is a good thing.
Definitely.
Mm. Butland may get run out in one of the friendlies.
You'd hope so. I think he deserves that, I think.
Mm. Certainly.
I did enjoy the way that Mourinho sort of made his coaches all look the same.
I was like,
just in case any of you do a good job, I want you to look ridiculous. So you can't come after my job.
But the news in the media since that game has been fairly relaxed on Mourinho, hasn't it? It's been like it's almost like
because he didn't have to do a post match interview.
Yeah, I
and
guess
couldn't
so.
Like not do it.
But do you reckon the press have been briefed? I reckon they might have been briefed from someone saying that he's not going.
Yeah.
So forget about it.
Yeah,
right,
quite
possibly.
Because Chelsea have been very consistent in their support, haven't they?
It's very rare that every single journalist will sort of play that tune.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, because I think, from reading between the lines, I think that if they could have got Ancelotti on a short-term deal towards the end of the season or something like that, they may have gone for him and got rid of Mourinho, but perhaps he's just not interested and they think, mm.
But the guy on Five Live today was even saying if they lose against, I think they're at home to Norwich.
Norwich, yeah.
I think the guy on the radio today was saying even if they lose at home to Norwich after the international break, his position won't be considered.
Well, that's right, yeah, because I think they've probably looked at the options and they feel, where do we go, actually? And also the fans, you never know, they could have actually listened to the fans, and to credit to the Chelsea fans, you know, they've
stuck behind them.
They've stuck by their man, Mourinho's given them so much success, obviously, and they've we often talk about football fans being fickle and whatnot, but they've done very well there to stand behind Mourinho, and that could have swayed the board's decision. You never know, because they were seriously unhappy when Mourinho went in the first place. But it's intriguing, because you could get to Christmas and Chelsea have not turned it round, and on paper they're in a relegation fight. Yeah.
Do you not think it could just be that they're doing quite well? They're doing all right in the Champions League. That is their main game.
That's all they've got left.
That's what they've always wanted to win. And as long as they're still in that,
yeah. I mean, it does seem strange with the Champions League. I mean, under Moyes at Manchester United, they still got to the quarter final of the Champions League, and it was only Bayern that I think they drew 1-1 at home. Was it? And then lost.
Yeah,
was it 3-1 away or something like
United
that?
United fired Moyes as soon as they mathematically couldn't get into the top four.
Yeah, but no, the point I was making was, going off on what Pete said, that the Champions League seems to be, well, it is a different competition, but it just seems that they're performing okay.
They're not going to win that, though, are they? Let's be realistic.
No, so but as Pete said, you know, they still seem to be doing all right in it.
Did I say last week that no team has started this badly and finished any higher than seventh?
I think that was before
they got beat again.
Yeah.
So I don't know what.
This
is the thing, isn't it? Regardless of whether they sack Mourinho or not, this season is a write-off.
Yeah, so, it has to be now. Yeah, it has to be.
So,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't make a huge amount of difference. Pedro's form is another interesting one. It's sort of, you know, he started really, really well, scored a goal and got an assist on his debut. And there's so many other players underperforming, and that's gone under the radar.
Yeah, but it's just all, isn't it? It's hard to pinpoint it. Manchester United beat West Brom 2-0. I mean, it wasn't a particularly wonderful game, but Jesse Lingard's a player, isn't he? Mm. I like him. He said the other week that when the fans were shouting attack and trying to urge them forward, he said every time he got the ball, he wanted to do something. He wanted to try and excite the fans. And it must be lovely for those Manchester United fans to see, well, there's one of our own who's performing and beginning to become a player. You know, he set up Rooney in the Champions League quite well. And he scored a lovely goal himself. And there's a little bit of something about him, whereas it's pretty flat other than that,
he's keeping Memphis Depay out of the team. Yeah. It tells its own story, really.
I know. Yeah.
Berahino should have equalised.
Oh, really. 50 yeah. beard. Terrified of having a ball in the face. Like, genuinely looked frightened.
I thought the coverage of that was a bit harsh. I thought it looked to me like he'd gone maybe half a stride too far. And he couldn't turn his head around.
Yeah, I don't think it was because he was scared of heading a football.
It looked like it.
Yeah, come on.
I think he got his body in an awkward position and he went too far, and the ball was slightly, ever so slightly behind him, which made him move his neck in a slightly weird... And listen, I've got no particular reason to defend him. That's just how I saw it.
Maybe he was distracted by someone in the crowd wearing another team's colours and he thought, oh, that looks good maybe on me. That would look good on me.
Or maybe he saw Jeremy Peace and thought, I'm not playing for him again, I promise. Damn.
Yeah, but Manchester United, though, they're still only 2 points off the top, aren't they?
They're exactly. This is the thing.
Lumbering performances in the Premier League this season.
They're defensively solid, though, aren't they?
Absolutely, they're more serious contenders for the league than they're being given credit for in a lot of places. So they are grinding out results. But you know, teams don't always play brilliantly. I'm sure they're going to pick up at some point during the season. They've got the players there. It's just about Van Gaal finding the right balance of players that, you know, they're not his players, as we know. It's not his team.
They're no Leicester City, are they?
No.
At Newcastle United, they got a 1-0 away win, Peter.
What a stinking performance that was.
How dare I? Rob Elliott in goal.
He's a chubber.
Yeah, at the beginning of the game, you text everyone saying, what a fat man. And then he had a game of his life.
Well, he's injured, like, but I don't like him because he was a Pardew apologist.
Was he?
off the clock as well.
That shit runs deep.
Endless.
If it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have got 1 point.
He played very, very well. And, you know, again, with a pretty stinking injury under his sizable belt. It was a complete mirror image of the Stoke match, the previous match where Newcastle had performed really well and they only got a point out of that, so I don't necessarily...
Oh, McLaren was right when he said, oh, we've played much better than that and not taken anything from a game, and I completely agree with him. Yeah. Bournemouth, I mean, the thing with Bournemouth is they've got to take a certain amount of the blame. I mean,
they've got to take their chances. They had enough chances.
The reality of the situation is, as we all know, because we've watched football for many, many years, if you strike a ball well enough and take the chance properly, the keeper can't save it.
Yeah.
So for that to happen over and over again, it's negligent, really.
It is.
It's a negligee.
Harry, it's a negligee. Dress it up in a negligee.
Yeah. Harry Redknapp said that he, after the game, old Red has said that he wouldn't be disappointed if that team performed like that under him. He said, you've played well, don't worry, you know, it's positive. And you'll get something else.
I would agree with that to an extent, but the point is that you've got to take your chances. Yeah. It's no good creating 100 chances if you can't take one of them. You know what I mean?
Especially against that defence.
Completely.
Mm. Let's go to the Championship. Chaps. Hull 3, Middlesbrough 0. Steve McLaren's old side on the end of a beating there. Hull are top. They haven't conceded a goal in 5, unbeaten in 12. Also knocked Leicester City out of the cup. Could we see Brucey's boys back in the Prem?
He's been linked with the Fulham job, Bruce, hasn't he?
Has he?
I think he was favourite to take that job.
Really?
Even though he's flying high in the...
Favourites straight after it after Kit Simmons was sacked were Nigel Pearson, Tim Sherwood and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Well, Hasselbank's done a fantastic job, Burton. You can definitely say that. Who are the other two?
Timmy Sherwood.
No, not having that.
And not Nigella Pearson.
Well, Tim Sherwood
at Fulham. No, I can.
He won't
see
take
that.
It anyway because he thinks he's too good for it.
I think he.
Nah, it's London, isn't it? London.
True.
I think I think he would take it actually.
I think it's above his. It's above his performance level.
I completely agree. He thinks it's below his performance level.
Yeah,
it's the Sherwood conundrum.
I just miss Kit Simmons now because that was a proper Premier League name or Premiership name.
It's Simon. Yeah.
You know, it's Marco Gabbardini, Roland Nielsen, those kind of players.
Chris
Marsden. Oh, lovely.
It's Chris Simons.
Rulo.
It's Kit Simons, you guys.
Oh,
he played for Pompey. I should know.
Yeah,
it's Kit
Simons. Say Simmons.
No, Simons, and I feel sorry for him because he. Remember the State Fulham room when he took over?
They were in a...
Was it 1 point?
Felix Magath.
1 point from the first 8 or 9 games on the Magath.
Yeah.
Having an absolute stinker.
I mean, he quite literally run them into the ground.
Yeah. I mean, Kit Simons, he I think there was something like 8 or 9 points, something like that, safe from relegation last season. So it wasn't too inspiring, but they was in the doldrums.
Yeah, they were,
so he
yeah.
did sort them out. But I mean, now they're in a funny position. They're 8 points off the playoffs and 7 points off relegation.
And who's in charge?
Of what now?
Yeah,
is it Kirbishley?
Neil Warnock, isn't he?
No, that's QPR.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, right, of course.
You're getting your West London
Sorry.
Sides mixed up.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out where he was.
Yeah, he's in the area. West London's having a funny old time. Fulham, obviously.
I think it's very premature.
Great win for Birmingham, we should say, 5-2 away from home. But yeah, Neil Warnock's been put in temporary charge of QPR. Poor old Chris Ramsey. Mm. But Warnock said of his interim appointment, he couldn't believe his luck. He said, I don't know whether it's going to be one game, two games or whatever, but I'm going to enjoy it. And if I can, I'm going to try and help them pick, presumably, the new manager. I hope they ask me. Surely they'll ask for my opinion.
Yeah. Nice of him to spare a thought for Chris Ramsey. Yeah.
But
I don't know whether it's going to be one game or two. I'm going to enjoy myself, aren't I?
But like, can you imagine if he for some reason had the job like permanently and took them up?
Yeah,
he's like a dog who's not allowed on the bed. He gets in the Premier League and then they sack him immediately. Yeah. Yeah. Oi, they come in the room. What are you doing? Get out.
Because he sticks the place out.
But he's a dog who spent ages actually physically smashing down the bedroom door.
Yeah.
Finally getting into the bedroom and then immediately accidentally taking the shit on the carpet.
Oh, Neil.
Yeah. Neil or...
I hope they ask me. They surely will ask my opinion.
Yeah.
Who do you think it should be, Neil?
You sound like Alan Bennett.
Oh, Alan. Yeah, so lovely old job there. Huddersfield, they were beaten 3-0 by Leeds in the West Yorkshire Derby. Great win for Big Steve Evans. Alex Moat scored a peach.
And then smashing it. Oh. Like Tony.
Yeah, it was a bit
He scored one from downtown the week before against Cardiff, didn't he?
Yeah, he likes a blockbuster.
It's one of those goals that like pundits will usually say, oh, the defenders need to get close up. Shut up.
No,
yeah, enjoy
how
it. Enjoy it.
It's one of those ones where if the defender thinks he's going to shoot, fine, shoot
the
from there.
The defender was pretty close. And he tried to get a block in, but it was just an absolute scud missile.
If someone's going to shoot from that far out, you've just got to think to yourself, well, he's not Ronaldo or something like that. Yeah, go on then.
Leeds United, their problem is winning at home, isn't it? I think I'm right in saying they've won once at home all year. In terms of the calendar year, I think. They've certainly only won one at home this season.
Oh, dear.
God, imagine how that must affect you as a fan as well.
It's so rubbish, isn't it? Like,
the atmosphere there must be before you've even started.
Like being an Aston Villa season ticket holder under Paul Lambert when they scored about 11 goals February or something.
Yeah, oh, he could take over the Fulham job. His name was linked as well. But of course, at the time of recording, nobody has. In the Brian Clough derby, Nottingham Forest beat Derby 1-0. County still up in the playoff spots, but Forest down in 18th, they needed the win.
They're not doing much since Mortradamus cursed them. Dougie Freeman's having a terrible time of it down there. Well, they're 18th now, aren't they?
Something like that.
Are you going to lift the curse, or does it not work like that?
No comment.
God, Adebayor's mum.
Yeah,
oh, no comment.
Horror.
Oh, dear. We're going to talk about the FA Cup first round and La Liga after this little thing.
Watch out now, it's getting too hot to handle. The streets company before's a ramble.
Before we do, don't forget the Premier League preview show sponsored by Bet365 on Friday mornings. Up your internet pipes, Luke.
Yeah, we're raising money for Prostate Cancer UK as well. And our bet of the week on Friday was Jamie Vardy to score.
Go on,
yeah.
The Vard.
Just tack it onto the back of that narrative. and he got nine. He got his ninth in nine games. Yeah. So good news for him and good news for us.
When they got a penalty, I was thinking, you've got to.
It was a lovely touch for Morris to give him that.
Very much.
We should extend our thanks from all at the Ramble and at Prostate Cancer UK.
On behalf of charity.
And Bet365, of course, who sponsor the show.
There was a weird moment in that game as well when Hirelio Gomez dropped that absolute clang. And just let the ball dribble between his legs over the line. And Leicester, you know, as they do when they score any goal, played Kasabian over the top.
Hirelio Gomez on his day can just be absolutely fantastic, but he's always got that in his locker. Definitely. As well. Mm-hmm. It's some locker.
It is.
Wide.
Let's talk about the FA Cup first round.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Salford City 2, Notts County 0. It was on television.
That was game of the weekend. What a game.
Richie
that was.
Allen's goal.
Fantastic.
The second goal. Yeah. Just like Roy of the Rovers stuff. Incredible.
He took out like three players at one time.
Yeah, but then like it did a quick 1-2 in the box. Yeah. Like proper, like Iniesta style.
but really slow. It was like a really slow version.
It was a great FA Cup tie. The 59 places in the football pyramid separate these two. As they did at kickoff. Salford are in the Northern Premier League. Premier Division, obviously owned by the Neville brothers, Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes, and Ryan Giggs,
and billionaire Peter Lim as well. I think.
Yeah.
That'll be the Harlem. So I was thinking, if they go and do something, they'll have to sell it because footballers aren't as rich as billionaires and oligarchs and stuff like that.
That's the real owner.
That's the real owner. Yeah.
The game was on Friday night, of course. And on Friday afternoon, I watched a bit of that Class of '92 documentary about Salford City, and they're the two joint managers at Salford City who are still there, of course. And one of them's a very, very punchy chap. And I tweeted. I didn't at him. I didn't know he was on Twitter. I tweeted saying, "Oh, they seem quite transparent in their management technique."
Yeah.
Saying because they just sort of shout a lot and stuff, and that appears to be fair to them. It appears to work. They've been promoted a few times and that other stuff. So good for them. But I tweeted that, and then about 5 minutes later, one of the actual guys tweeted me saying, oh, if we were a bit more chilled out, maybe we'd have had four promotions in a row rather than three, like being quite chippy about it. Then I realised it was about 2 hours before kickoff. So what he is doing, looking on Twitter, 2 hours before kickoff, I have no idea. But to be fair to them, they won, so I can't complain.
Yeah, they do. I had a lovely story about talking of like lower league non-league managers. You remember I mentioned before about my old non-league club Leatherhead?
Yeah.
And one of their managers being rather explicit during half-time team talks. A friend of mine, he carried on playing for Leatherhead, and there was another manager who took over. And if they'd played really well and the manager was in good spirits, apparently, he had quite a funny-shaped body. Yeah. And he would, before they got into the dressing room, he'd whip his kit off and just be standing there naked, and they'd walk in and go, well, I thought you boys deserved a laugh.
Oh, my God. Demeaning himself in the quest for wins.
Like a jester. Covering himself in his own excrement. Like, yeah, this is me. Respect me.
Speaking of funny things happening, did you
here's your three points.
Did you see the Notts County player get a cup of tea thrown over him by a Salford fan?
That's not nice.
I hope it was cold.
The ball went out. Well, he was still drinking it, but the ball went out for a throw-in. But I think the Notts County player did the thing that you see sometimes where he just wants to make sure it goes out, so he boots it.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a non-league ground, right? So the fans are really close to the pitch, and it almost hit this kid. And you can see the guy next to him shouting, he's just a boy, he's just a boy. Oh. And then the Notts County player gave him a bit back. And so the boy just looked around, just chucked the tea all over him.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Outrageous.
Tea time. It's tea time, he should have said at the end of that.
And I took consolation from the fact that Notts County looked that bad on TV, but they were fully able to beat Portsmouth the week before in the league. So, yeah, good for them.
Portsmouth are still in the top three, though, aren't they?
Just about. Yeah. No, they might
Plymouth
not be
are dominating,
they
though.
They are.
Well done, Plymouth.
Alan Smith was playing for Notts County, too.
Yeah,
that's right.
And obviously Danny Webber scored the opening goal, ex-United and ex-Pompey as well, scored the opening goal for Salford.
There were some big upsets in the first round of the FA Cup. The Crewe lost at home 1-0 to Eastleigh. The National League Eastleigh knocked out League One side Crewe.
Yeah, Eastleigh are doing very, very well. I think they're about seventh in the conference, they're based not too far where I'm from, and I can't ever remember them being that good. I mean, that's one step away from professional football is outrageously good for them. So well done. And Crewe are really struggling, by the way. I think they're rock bottom of League One.
Altrincham beat Barnsley 1-0. I mean, that's another National League side beating
another struggling League One team.
Well, it does show you, doesn't it, that you know how morale can affect you if you're really, really down in the doldrums. Maybe the quality isn't as gaping as it seems.
I don't think it is, because at conference level, or whatever you call it, our National League, and I'm led to believe they're practically full-time. Of course, they're not well-paid, but they're practically full-time. But at Salford's level, they're not full-time, because they were talking about that boy played at right-back, I think, for Salford. And apparently, he was player of the season last season, and he regularly plays and then just goes straight onto his night shift.
Yeah.
Wow.
And goes all the way through and then sleeps during the day. Well, so they are very much part-time at that level.
With National League players as well, they'll have a profession and they'll also get paid, you know, not too bad money, nothing to turn your nose up.
It's like subs, isn't it, really?
Yeah, exactly. And so they'll kind of have two bits of income there, whereas if you make that step up to professional, you actually, depending on what you do...
No, but I think National League are professional. I think they pretty much are professional. I think they're full-time players.
Right.
I think it's when you get below that, they're not.
But it's full-time players that, you know, don't make a lot of money.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
absolutely.
Like minimum wage.
But we don't make a lot of money, do we?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Buy some mattresses, that. Will you?
Forest Green, wonderful result away to Wimbledon. And again, a National League side represent themselves very well. Beat a League Two side. Lovely bit of commentary on the highlights.
There was. I did notice on the first goal, there was no pylon. Second goal, there was a big pylon.
Yeah.
And John Parkin had exited the field before that happened. So
a relief for all.
Yeah.
I saw the name Parkin and thought, is it?
And then he lumbers interview. Wow.
The reason that the commentary is so funny is because in the early rounds of the FA Cup, they get the local BBC radio person, don't they? I think that guy was from BBC Radio Gloucestershire.
Well, a lot of the time they're using it like as a soapbox as well. Yeah. Like, this is my big moment. They're absolutely nailing it.
And so they should. When it was Elliot Freer who got the winner, and the commentator was like, it's Elliot Freer for Forest Green. And he just went, Elliot Freer! He just shouted his name. He's so excited.
Just sounded like a librarian launching into space.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Elliot Freer, celebrate.
Correct. And then Cheshire United, they beat Bristol Rovers away 1-0. Southern League Premier Division side beating a League Two side. League Two sides didn't... didn't fare too well.
Didn't Bristol Rovers miss a penalty in that game?
I think Chesham United, didn't they?
Well,
I think they did. Barry Hales came off the bench, didn't he?
Ah. Like
43-year-old player coach Barry Hales. Brilliant.
Nice super. To hear a mention for him.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. right, enough of this glitz and glamour. Let's go to La Liga. Sevilla beat Real Madrid 3-2. First league defeat of the season for Real Madrid. Sergio Ramos scored a bicycle kick but injured himself in the process.
He was already injured when doing that bicycle kick, I think.
I love that, though.
It was very commitment. He was treading that fine line between bravery and stupidity.
It was a real... Because he scored a bicycle kick like a few weeks ago, didn't he? But this one was a lot more reserved, let's say, and a lot closer to the ground. And then he instantly popped his shoulder and just started screaming. But he still kind of had to look whether the ball went in the net. But he couldn't celebrate. He was like... He couldn't show anything on his face.
And if Sergio Ramos can't celebrate a personal achievement, you know that is serious.
Yeah.
Ronaldo played but didn't score.
Don't hear that very often, do you? You don't hear that very often. No, he's concentrating on his film, isn't he?
His movie career.
The film career. Barcelona beat Villarreal. Neymar with a delightful
one. Oh, my God. That was one of the goals of the season.
Yeah.
That was just delicious.
Don't
bother with bringing Messi back. Let's see how good Neymar can get.
I think that's it. Delicious. And leave it there.
Yeah.
Look it up if you've not seen it.
I thought you meant the word delicious. And you'll see that goal.
David Moyes has been sacked. As Real Sociedad manager.
Seft.
Is his career in a downward spiral?
I think so. Yeah,
he's being linked with the Newcastle job, and I'm wondering whether he should maybe go back to
that's sort of like doing Panto, isn't it?
Yeah, heavily linked with Villa, but does he really? I suppose for a lot of people, they would still think of Moyes as the Everton guy. Manchester United, that was always a tricky one. He's gone abroad, different surroundings, so on and so forth.
He's definitely on his last hit if he's not used it already, though. you can't expect to just walk into a Premier League job.
No, he can't,
now.
But many people will still see him as a Premier League manager. And that's not necessarily that disagreeable.
It's pretty sort of dreadful getting rid of him in November when him and McKinley have experienced a San Sebastian summer and they're just getting their ginger skins peeled
off.
So now... The autumn time's coming.
Maybe this is it. It's like, David, if we don't sack you, you are going to die.
We've run out of factor a million.
Well, it was the right thing to do. The right thing to do. And the right thing to do right now, we go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Hello, everyone. I've got a great highlight of the week here from Joseph Bramley, who says, my highlight of the week is Gelson Fernandez becoming the first player to score in each of the top four leagues in Europe, the Bundesliga, Serie A, Premier League, and Ligue 1. And he says, what makes this even more impressive is that he's only scored 12 goals in his entire career. And the 12 include the following. 1 in the Swiss Super League, 3 in the Premier League, 3 in Serie A, 1 in the Championship, 1 in the Bundesliga, 1 in Ligue 1, 1 World Cup qualifier, and 1 in the 2010 World Cup. That's 12 goals in 8 different competitions.
That's fantastic.
That is great. Mm.
Haven't looked it up. I did check it. I'm pretty sure it's
a cursory glance.
Yeah, so that's a good start.
Recently edited Wikipedia.
So I thought that was a very interesting one.
Well done.
What else have we got here? Mark Ridley, he says, during the halftime interval in the Didcot versus Exeter Cup tie, there was an Exeter supporter who sat down on the terraces to consume his refreshments, which were winkles, which are removed from the shell with a pin. Didcot is a good 2-hour drive from a shellfish-encrusted seabed. So God knows where he got them from. Pete, you're a bit of a winkles man, I think.
My dad was a big winkles man. I used to just sit there and watch him pull them out with a pin.
Yeah, that's how you eat them.
That's how you eat them.
Yeah.
I would have thought...
I'm not going to go there. Don't worry.
When he mentioned winkles, because you do get them fairly regularly in Portsmouth-based fish and chip shops, but they're normally in a jar and they're already shelled. So I don't know why he had the shells with him. Maybe he just drove down with them. Braver man than me.
I remember when my dad first moved down to... I think we were down to Hartlepool, and it was his first day in Hartlepool, and he went to the beach, and there was just loads of cockles on the beach, and he spent ages just picking them up and going, why has nobody picked up these cockles? I mean, we're downwind from the power station. He was sick for like 3 days.
Was he?
There'll be another extract from Pete's book next week.
I've got more for Pete in a minute, actually. I'll come on to that in a sec. James Holness has said his highlight of the week is the less than impressed Lincoln fans who launched a bin onto the pitch at Whitehawk in the FA Cup.
Chuck yourselves in!
Oh yeah, Whitehawk beat them, I think, 5-3. What a wonderful name, Whitehawk.
Yeah, it's great.
Are they going to swoop?
That's very near.
Are they
going to
swoop for any players?
I quite like.
Well, they probably will, because they're in Brighton. A lot of things swoop at you.
They're in beak form at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Tobias Ashton.
If they got to a European competition, would they have a two-egged affair?
Can I move on?
Yeah, go on.
Tobias Ashton's a Torquay fan.
That deserved more.
I'll decide. Yeah. This is my section. Tobias Ashton's a Torquay fan. He said Torquay's game was postponed to extend our unbeaten run. So good for them. It doesn't really count. I suppose it sort of does.
Yeah.
But yeah, Torquay haven't lost since the 6th of October, but they're still in the relegation zone of the National League, which is a real crime because they were previously a Football League club. And James Brett finally has said, my heart of the week is Pete's history teacher. Do you want to expand on that for the listeners?
Mr. Lee got an A in A-level, so no, I was predicted a D. So obviously I was very happy with it, Luke.
No, but do you want
the Weimar Republic?
Hang on, what's going on
British
here?
British political history.
I think it's more of Pete's book.
What's smashed happening? It. Mr. Lee got involved on Twitter, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then you retweeted my ex-history teacher's tweet.
It was a lovely, heartwarming story.
It was heartwarming. I've not spoken to him for about 10 years.
I did a tweet saying...
Are we tiptoeing around a court case
here? Do you want to hear about it or not?
He's a really good bloke.
Right.
He's a member of the goodies as well.
Right.
I did a tweet saying, on a little, because you can do polls on Twitter now, saying, what should Pete buy next time he's drunk? And one of the options was a piano, and the other option was a piano. And his ex-history teacher got in touch saying he should buy a pint for his old history teacher.
Aww.
And then Pete went, oh, Mr. Lee, great to hear from you. And I thought, it's a nice story.
That's lovely.
Have you sent him a pint voucher?
Well, that's like a quid in Hartley Park, don't worry about it.
Mr. Lee has recently retired after 38 years teaching history, so good luck to him.
Indeed. Mm. Yeah, story for off the mics, mate. anything else, Luke?
No, but do you want a website roundup?
Lovely. I
think I've got a highlight of the
week.
Joel Jackson tweeted me. A lot of people tweeted me about this, but Joel Jackson was first, so I'm just going to give him the credit.
Mr. Jackson tweeted me
to point out that Jeff Goldblum
did
a PC World advert like a true Hollywood A-lister.
Well, Samuel Jackson, he was in Kevin Bacon.
Shut your noise.
Easy.
All that tells us, Jim, is that Jeff Goldblum needs a new agent. Because we can see his talent even if his agent can't.
That's it. Oh, and Patrick Vieira, New York City FC manager.
Yeah. Lovely gig, that. What a gig.
Enjoyable.
My
heart of the week, I've had a couple of meetings. I'm going to be doing a fitness and cookery book with Fulham central defender Eat Clean with Tim Ream. So
nice.
That's going to be out on Hodder and Stoughton.
Yeah, good.
Later in the
what, time for Christmas? Or?
Yep.
Good stuff.
Okay. Luke.
Website roundup, courtesy of the always excellent Kelly Wells. She says, this week we've got the science behind Arsene Wenger's cuff-tastic shoot for L'Équipe Sports and Style. That's really weird, that. I've seen that.
He's very existentialist in the interview as well. Very French. As French as Wenger has ever been.
And that's saying something. He's come over here from Japan. how well you know your club, featuring a welcome return of the off-reference but rarely heard from Kevin from Fife. So do check that out. The Champions League, featuring the unwelcome return of Mike Smalling. And, of course, Alan Pardew schooling Jurgen Klopp in the art of proper English football.
Indeed.
So follow Kelly on @Kelly_Wells.
There we are. Any more for any more.
That's it from me.
Lovely old job. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The website is thefootballramble.com. Twitter @FootballRamble, Instagram and Facebook. And don't forget the Premier League preview show on Friday mornings. Say goodbye, Jim.
Laters.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Bye.
Cheerio from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've
I've got some cat's ashes. I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.